Why is President Trump talking about an executive order for birthright citizenship? What's his game here? This is an old issue that's been around. It's been kicking around, clanking around for a long time. Why is he bringing it up now? Why is he talking about an executive order? It's hard not to think, whatever your opinion about birthright citizenship is, it's hard not to think that this is not simply throwing out some more red meat right before the election. I mean, look, everybody does it. I'm not saying he's the only one, but it is not unusual. It is not unheard of. Right? I mean, we're not like Captain Renault at the casino in Casablanca where we're shocked to find out there's gambling going on in this establishment. It's not unheard of to throw out some red meat to your base to remind them of some things they've wanted or been interested in for a long time as a way of saying, hey, it matters who wins next Tuesday night. I'm not sure that we'll ever see that executive order. I'm not sure that it won't just get lost in the fog of other things, and while I think the president is serious about immigration and clearly was elected because people see him as an agent of change, I'm not so sure this is high on the list of things that we got to revisit. If he does want to fight it, Edward writes to me, Jack at KTSA.com, an executive order could be a vehicle to get a Supreme Court ruling. And so his argument is the minute you issue this executive order, if you do, someone challenges it as unconstitutional, and then we get to go to the courts. But let me put it to you another way. If birthright citizenship is so obviously wrong, you had 25 years ago, you had Harry Reid saying no sane country would do this, and yet here we are doing it. If other major nations with whom we have a lot of kinship and believe our fellow democracies, the most enlightened democracies in the world, if they've discontinued birthright citizenship, if this is popular, if this is obviously something we should stop doing, then why not go the constitutional amendment route? The only way a constitutional amendment passes is if an overwhelming number of people in an overwhelming number of states want to do it. Well, if that is how people feel, I mean, if most people see the logic in ending birthright citizenship, either because it was always a mistaken read of the 14th Amendment, or because it's no longer a good idea, it may have been okay then, but now we think it's a terrible policy, then why not go that route? Shouldn't there be tremendous widespread support for a constitutional amendment? And if you went that route, no one could say you did it wrong or it wasn't fair. Tell me what you think. We're going to talk about this after we get the news headlines. 1128 on 550 KTSA, FM 1071, and at KTSA.com. So I kind of have the same take on the president's executive order talk that I had about when he talked about the wall. I think it's his way of having the conversation. I think it's his way of dramatizing his commitment to the issue. But I don't see the wall being built. I don't see the executive order being issued. And it's funny how no matter how you approach this executive order or Lindsey Graham's bill in the Senate that he says he's going to introduce, you kind of come to the same. You're going to get to the same point, which is you're going to get to a Supreme Court revisiting of the Wong Kim Ark case from 1898. You're going to wind up at the 14th Amendment. And then if you do, and the Supremes come up and say, hey, it means what we thought it meant, it means what it's always been interpreted to mean, why, then I think you have to go with a new amendment. That's how we have negated past constitutional amendments, and that's how you would have to negate, if you wanted to, this one. But more importantly, if there is that much support for doing it, then a constitutional amendment should be pretty easy to do. It takes a little bit of time, but when something is overwhelmingly logical and widely supported, you can get the requisite number of states to sign on and ratify it. 210-599-5555. 55. Beth is on KTSA. Beth, good morning.
Oh, hey.
Hi, Beth.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
You're just about to get two for one here. My friend is here, and I told her about this, and she had a completely an additional point. My point is, I think that we the Constitution assumes that when people are born here, they were here legally. We're talking about people who are here illegally. And I don't think that they need to have the same rights. They don't have rights here.
You do know that birthright citizenship doesn't just apply to illegal immigrants. It applies to legal residents who don't have citizenship. You know that, right?
I do.
Yeah. So we can't say that everybody...
I challenge that as well.
But we can't.
If you're not here legally, then I don't see why you should be a citizen of this country, and we should follow the leads of Ireland and... I can't remember the long list of countries that already have this in place.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Kathy is here, and she wants to say a word or two, okay?
Sure, put her on.
All right, put her on. Hello, this is Kathy. I think that I agree with Beth's point, but I also would say when you've got almost 7,500 people storming the border, and we saw how violent they were in knocking down the fence in Mexico, we have to protect our borders.
Okay, but Kathy, that has nothing to do with birthright citizenship.
Well, when they get here, believe me, some of them will be delivering.
Yeah.
Or getting pregnant as fast as they can, because it's, you know, citizenship in this country is such a huge privilege.
Yes. Can I ask you a question? Why do you make no distinction between... Or you, I guess Beth didn't, maybe you do. Why is there no difference between an illegal immigrant, meaning somebody who came in under the law, under the line, versus somebody who is here legally but not a citizen? Have you ever traveled to a foreign country?
Many, many times.
Okay. So when you're in that country, you're not there illegally, right?
Right, right.
Okay. So but why are we making a distinction between why aren't we seeing a difference between illegal immigrants and legal residents?
I totally agree with you on that one. There is a big distinction, and that's a totally different point. So, you know, I agree with what I heard you say. Well, I was holding the phone
okay.
for Beth.
All right.
That a new amendment would be the way to go, and I think Trump's just trying to make a point. But the expense that's caused by illegal immigrants is huge. And for the people who, you know, just want to say, let the people who are illegal stay, then they should pay for it.
They should
mark a little box on their taxes and say, I want to volunteer to give my money because I don't.
Right. I understand what you're saying. Well, Kathy and Beth, thank you. I appreciate both of you calling in. And that's very unusual, but I'm always okay with that. A party line on our show, we're fine with that. Saves everybody a little time and money, and, you know, that's good. When you call in from now on, when you call into our show, if there's anyone else with you that wants to get in on the conversation, I am okay. I can't speak for the other hosts, but I am okay with that. Because sometimes a person will call in and their spouse will be, like, prompting them. You ever hear that? Tell him that you say that thing you said before. No, just hand the phone over to them. It's much better. 210-599-5555. Jim is on the radio. Jim, are you alone, or do you have somebody you're going to put on with you?
I can go find some people if you want.
You can solo if you want, Jim. That's all right.
I'll go solo. You know, I question, Jack, do we really need an amendment? Simply because I see what Trump is saying what he wants to do with the executive order as being basically like a match that will basically make it very expedient for it to go straight to the Supreme Court for them to readdress the issue and actually clearly define what is already established law of how it is supposed to be applied. Therefore, why would you need a new amendment if the Supreme Court overturns?
I'll tell you why. Who did we just confirm to the Supreme Court?
Okay.
Brett Kavanaugh, right? And who did we confirm right before him? Neil Gorsuch, right?
Right.
And what did both of them take great pains to prove during their confirmation hearings? Both of them made a big, big deal out of being textualists or originalists when it comes to the Constitution. I think everybody is assuming that this court, if it ever gets its hands on birthright citizenship, will throw out the Wong Kim Ark ruling and say, oh, yeah, we've been misinterpreting it all these years, 150 years. I don't assume that at all. I think the odds are against a Supreme Court siding with Trump if he issues that executive order. That's why you need a constitutional amendment, Jim, because they're going to say, no, the 14th Amendment is being interpreted correctly.
Well, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe I'm misunderstanding it, but that it would basically, it says, and you have to have both, you know, being born in the U.S. and under the jurisdiction of the U.S., not under the jurisdiction of another country or whatever. I guess it could have been written differently, but that would be reading it as it is, or as it was intended. Mm-hmm. Is it not correct?
I'm just saying, I don't think, and I heard Kavanaugh and Gorsuch say this very specifically, they are going to be very, very hard votes on overturning precedent. Okay? I'm not arguing with you about the wording. What I'm saying, Jim, is we have a Supreme Court made up of John Roberts is very strong on this, and these two new justices are very strong on it, and you certainly don't think you're going to get an overturning of birthright citizenship from justices like Sotomayor and Kagan. I'm just saying, right. I think there's probably already six or seven votes keeping everything the way it is. So after you get your executive order and you get your showdown at the Supreme Court, you're going to come back to where I am now and say, oh, yeah, I guess we do need a constitutional amendment. And that was my argument. Let me hold you there, Jim. I appreciate it. 1147 on 550 KTSA, FM 1071, and KTSA.com. Talking about President Trump's birthright citizenship executive order talk. That was a mouthful. I think this is, I think he's serious about immigration reform. He keeps saying we have some of the worst laws, we have some of the worst practices in the world. I think that's true. But I don't see this executive order happening. I think they have bigger fish to fry. There are way higher priorities than this. This doesn't represent either numerically or otherwise a major impact. And I'm not even going to agree with you if you want to try to make the argument, hey, people come here so they can have a baby and that baby will be a U.S. citizen. I'm sure there are people. There have been people that have thought that. I don't think that's what most people are doing. I don't think that's what the caravan is. But if you want to talk about something that's urgent and we got to figure it out and deal with it, yeah, the caravan is something that's right now. But the birthright citizenship thing, I have heard this argument for years and years and years, and we've had politicians and presidential candidates say they would do something about it. And I think he brings it up because he wants us to talk about the bigger issue. I also think that if there really was widespread support for ending it, if that was what the will of a majority of the American people wanted, then you could do the amendment. The amendment process is designed to only work for something that is broadly supported. Marshall is on KTSA. Marshall, good morning.
Hey, Jack. I love the show.
Thank you. So
I definitely agree with you that this is probably a tactful act on Trump's part. I do believe that birthright citizenship should not be extended to everyone within our borders. I think it should be extended to those with a vested interest in the United States. The 14th Amendment states that it applies to those subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, but people who just come within our borders and have a baby, a lot of them tend to go back home and later bring in family and extended family, which is not sustainable. So I do think you're right in terms of his intent.
I just think we would be better off if this is really not that important to me, but if it's important to you or to another person or a group of people, I think we would be better off with a constitutional amendment that defined how and when you become a citizen, rather than trying to, read the tea leaves of a 150-year-old amendment that was written for freed slaves.
No, I think that's right. I think that I think some clarification is in order. I also try to stay careful when referring to tea leaves, because that's what the left tends to do when they talk about the Second Amendment.
Right. Well, see, that's I mean. I think we got to be very careful here, because one of the things everybody loved, all these conservatives loved Brett Kavanaugh and loved Neil Gorsuch for talking about being originalists. You can't now ask them, as their first order of business on the Supreme Court, to throw out an 1898 presidential ruling. That's just not going to happen. They're not going to do that.
That's true.
So that's true.
So then it sounds like it wouldn't be a matter of redefining the 14th Amendment, but it would be a new
replacing
amendment
it.
In
yeah.
of itself. Then
I mean, we replaced the Prohibition Amendment with another amendment. We didn't say, oh, on second thought, that's not what it meant, or we were a different country back then, and now we need a different interpretation of these words. We knew we needed a new amendment, and we got one, and that's what would have to happen here. And yeah, that'll be very hard to do. It's supposed to be very hard to do.
Right.
So.
Right.
Marshall, hang on. I want to get you an invitation to our, let's get Marshall on our list for the watch party on election night. If he can come out and join us, we'd love to have him in the Alamo Lounge. You and a guest, and you'll be right in the middle of our election night coverage here on KTSA. So, just to refresh your memory, Neil Gorsuch, and it's easy to forget about Brett Kavanaugh, right? It's hard to remember that Brett Kavanaugh ever talked about anything but beer and you know, his calendars and all this other stuff. But before the insanity set in on Brett Kavanaugh, during the adult testimony portion of the hearings, he was very, very strong on the idea that it would be very rare that he would consider, as a Supreme Court justice, overturning a prior Supreme Court decision. Do you know why they asked him that? Do you remember who asked him that? It was Democrats who asked them that. And do you remember why? Roe v. Wade. The answer that Gorsuch and Kavanaugh gave to Roe v. Wade, even though both of them are personally pro-life men, is the Supreme Court ruled it would be an extraordinary, and it is in our history, an extraordinary thing for the Supreme Court to throw out one of its own prior rulings. It has happened, it can happen, but it's rare. And people that claim to be originalists and textualists have not only respect for what the founders of our country wrote, but they also have respect for what the founders of constitutional amendments wrote. So the founders, quote unquote, didn't write the 14th Amendment, but the founders of the 14th Amendment wrote it. And what you would have to do is you would have to have a Supreme Court with at least five people who were willing to say either we've been interpreting it wrong all this time, or the justices in 1898 were wrong. And I think it was a 6-2 decision back in 1898. So 3/4 of the sitting Supreme Court justices 120 years ago got this thing wrong. That's what you'd have to hope for.